Hello, everybody. I'm George from Ireland. I was just reading the other day about Young-hoon Kim, a South Korean chap who's got the highest intelligence quotient ever recorded, 276. Bear in mind, mean average is supposed to be, or is it median average supposed to be 100? 80 is too low to attend an ordinary school. 120 is superior. You can be the learned professions like 115. Genius levels would be 145. As in 1 in 100,000 people, and he's up there at 276, more than triple the combined score of people who are too low to attend a normal school. He's got wow, it's just off the chart. So he's 36 years old. He's a professional scientist. I believe he speaks some perfect English as well, and he is a fervent Christian, writing on X this June. I believe that Jesus Christ is God, the way, the truth, and the life, and so forth. So he's got an awful lot of hits, and wants to lead lost souls to Christ. Amen. He says Christ is my logic. Faith and reason go hand in hand, and so forth like that. So he's been tested many, many times, won memory championships. So yeah, he's got a degree in Christian theology as well as other degrees, I believe. He says that the Bible is the perfect message of God for all time. He believes in verbal inerrancy and stuff like that, that Christ is king. So that's him. So it's about 23% of South Koreans are Christians. So IQ is obviously tested, by vocabulary, reading speed, recognizing patterns with shapes and numbers and stuff like that, also being able to do it fast. So there's no question he's absolutely superb at that. And, words fail me to describe his intelligence. And it proves how highly intelligent people can believe in things that are nonsensical. So obviously it's illogical. We know that people can't come back from the dead. There are no proven cases. There's this claim in the Bible, but then again it's a banality because after Jesus rose from the dead, the good book tells us that hundreds of people resurrect from the dead. He's not the only person who came back from the dead. He raised Jairus's daughter, or was that a coma? She's only sleeping, Jesus Christ said. And various other people came back from the dead. In the Bible, so that wouldn't make him the Lord and Savior. And why would we need to believe the Bible? I mean, some of it is verifiable, like Caesar Augustus mentions he's a historical figure, or King Herod, and so on. They're attested by multiple other documents, so we can believe some of it, but disbelieve the rest of it. All the claims about the supernatural, Alexander the Great going to the bottom of the ocean in a diving bell in ancient times, we don't believe that one. Or that Julius Caesar, everybody knows he's a historical figure, but that doesn't mean he's descended from Jupiter or something like that, as he claimed. They're bits we throw out that we know are bogus. So how is someone with a scientific education who would follow the scientific method to come up with a hypothesis and then test this out, observe the results, and then draw conclusions from that? Things are proven or disproven or just not proven. Because he's got these powers of ratiocination, I suppose he can trick himself. People have got this limitless capacity for self-delusion, to fool himself into believing this is true. So I'm not sure if he was raised as a Christian, but if so, that's why the Catholic Church said, give me a child at the age of 7 and I will give you the adult. Well, that's why I think what you absorb between the age of 5 and 10 is formative. What you're taught before the age of 5, you can be got out of, not that without that much difficulty. Things you absorbed after the age of 10, you've already somewhat formed your personality and your belief system. So you're less susceptible to indoctrination. You're still obviously some susceptible throughout your life, but that is the crucial period. And that's why they did these studies on the Third Reich, is those who were at school in the Third Reich who happened to be between the ages of 5 and 10, a lot of them found it very difficult to completely expunge themselves from Nazi beliefs. Some did it totally successfully, some semi-successfully, others not. Not that Christianity is wicked like Nazism, it isn't. Perhaps as a poor example to choose. And so people are invested in that. That's part of his or her identity. This is part of the community. This is being a good child to your parents, being a good friend or whatever, and being applauded. And then you face that identity crisis to think you've been had. There's a sunk cost fallacy. Having committed to it, having believed in it, the cost of coming out of it is too high. Losing the love of your friends, your mother, father, your brother, sisters, and stuff like that, and then having to face up the fact that you've been conned, that you've wasted your life. You really don't want to do that one. And Mother Teresa, in a private correspondence revealed after her death in 997, she harbored grave doubts about the Christian faith. So this chap, he may have been able to con himself. So very clever people can believe in things that are nonsensical, things that are wicked, and that could be any religion. I'm not saying that the religions are wicked, but Hinduism or Christianity, believing despite the evidence or just with the lack of evidence. You know, we know that snakes don't talk. We know that burning bushes don't talk. I mean, is this figurative language? We know the world was not made in 6 days. And all right, that Hebrew word could be an eon, could be a millions of years. I'm not quite sure how fundamentalist he is. We know people don't come back from the dead, but the laws of science are broken all the time, and they're broken only in your favor. We know that virgins can't conceive, and this wasn't some sort of in vitro fertilization back then. And we know that being a sort of God and being man are incompatible. So he's believing in the supernatural all the time. And the Bible contradicts itself many, many times. Like, for example, the two genealogies of Jesus Christ given in the Gospels. Now, and the two lists don't match, not in all the names, not in the numbers of generations. And when the names match, they're not all in the same sequence. So we're told about gospel truth. It's going to be inerrant. Well, one of the gospels is wrong. Maybe both of them are wrong. And why those four gospels? About 20 gospels were written. The canon of the Bible wasn't decided to hundreds of years after Jesus Christ. How can we trust these gospels are absolutely right? How do we know these ones are correct and those ones erroneous? Could be the other way around. It's just preposterous. So even if you accept Jesus' preachments, that doesn't mean that he was the Son of God. He was the Son of God. It doesn't mean that he was born of a virgin. And the whole thing is based on a mistranslation. You know, the Annunciation is that a young woman, not a virgin, would give birth. A young woman would give birth is unexceptional. Of course, there was this cult of the virgin birth. You find it in many religions at the time. And then that conundrum of being fully God and being fully human. But wait a second, how can God die? And if the universe is based in his existence, how could the universe go on existing without him? Or, you know, that Jesus Christ is his blood and flesh and blood. I don't know if Mr. Kim believes that one. But even if he does, in that same speech to the Last Supper, our Lord and Savior says he's a door. Why do Christians never think that he's a door then? If he's literally flesh and blood, transubstantiation, why don't Christians not worship doors? Stuff like that. Says, and how do we know heaven's existed? Who's been there to come back to tell us? And so forth. So it contradicts itself. Obviously, the Old Testament is very vengeful and says that there is no afterlife. Then they made that up in the Maccabean revolt because so many young men died. And then Christianity said, yes, there's an afterlife and things like that. People say, I'm not quite sure that Jesus Christ that never says the Son of God, you say I am, using all sorts of other titles for himself and things like that. So because the Bible was written by dozens of different authors over a few centuries in several different countries, what's now Iraq, probably Egypt, Israel, wherever else, Palestine, unsurprisingly, it contradicts itself. So you get this very vengeful, cruel, racist, genocidal God inciting rape in the Old Testament. He does. And when you defeat the enemy tribe, kill every single male, take the women, you may go into them, which obviously we know is rape. I'm sorry, it's sickening, but it is. Having killed this woman's father, husband, brother, son, do you really think she would consent to intercourse with such a man? Of course not. It's to take her against their will. So obviously these people know what they're doing, launching war of aggression, armed robbery, stealing farmland and flocks and raping women. Anybody can tell you that's totally immoral, that's evil. Do as you would be done by. You wouldn't want it done to you, so why should it to others? Okay, well, I'll tell me, God said we're allowed to do it. Mandate of heaven. We got permission. We've even got an order from God to do it. So that's how you'll tell yourself that evil is good. I can't remember which scientist it said, if you want good people to good, left to their own devices, good people do good, evil do people evil. If you want good people to do evil, you need religion. Or you need other ideologies. And there are nice bits to Christianity about charity and mercy, and all that's laudable. And I don't think most Christians are bad people. And because you can find anything you want in the Bible, you can find all sorts of incantations urging mercy and generosity, or you can find incitement to murder, and you take whichever bits you want. You can find permission for slavery. You can find frank racism, Genesis chapter 9 about enslaving black people. That's it. There's cafeteria Christianity's pick and mix. Take the good bits, throw out the nasty bits. I hope Mr. Kim throws out the nasty bits. Well, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Then only PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. And don't keep the faith.